For years, we heard the stories of dedicated Christians in the Soviet Union who would be led of the Lord and follow his leading to certain spots in the woods where they simply were not free to worship, but they would follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And they would come in to this clearing in the woods and find many believers who had also followed that prompting and ended up together in the woods having a worship service. You multiplied it over and over and over again for decades. There probably is the largest church in the world is an underground church in China. Persecution is ripe and rampant again as they try to reestablish the authoritarian regime. They are burning crosses. Churches that had been allowed to exist are being decimated and desecrated. But believers who have had an underground river flowing for decades upon decades are worshiping Jesus, being prompted by the Lord, and the church is growing. Prompted. Follow the prompts. The word prompt means being ready and quick to act as occasion demands. We know that. Means being something being performed readily or immediately, prompt assistance. But also, a prompt is something that reminds. You'll see up on that opening slide again, Roxanne, if you could go back just one, you'll see if you have Windows 10, you follow prompts. And by the way, you know, updates aren't automatically done for you anymore. You get the prompt window to restart now. How many of you felt like the downloads that they used to sneak in on you destroyed your machines or delayed your computers anyway? It's more that way now. But last week I spoke on what can God do. The answer is anything and everything he wants to do. That's what God can do. And he does do, but we don't want to limit God. And I spoke of, if you recall, the GPS that leads us down the road, and you get a 50-mile straightaway stretch or 100-mile straightaway stretch, and you've been guided out to the highway, and all of a sudden you hear nothing. And if you have a tendency to get insecure, you think, am I still on the right path? But the point is, you're on the right path. You don't need a fresh word. When you got his direction straight and true, he'll guide you again as he guides you and prompts you into a different direction. Maybe you've been like me. Anybody ever been like me? And you're sitting there going, boy, I hope not. Anyway, okay, a few of you. Maybe some of you think, I hope so. You're driven down the highway. And maybe your GPS is a little bit late. Is anybody's GPS a little bit late? Yeah. So turn right at the next exit. And if you weren't watching, you might just zip right on by the exit. And your GPS has a breakdown and said, I told you what to do. You didn't pay attention to me. You got to turn around. And anyway, so you do what I do. You get off of the next exit, go up left over the overpass, go back down the highway the other way, and do it again. But the Lord gives us his prompts. But in the Spirit, if we don't listen to his prompts, we might not have the joy of the journey. Now, I thank God for the technology that he's brought, and I thank God for all of the things. I've been in real estate. I have my own real estate office. Some of you know, some of you may not know, but back in the older days, the olden days, before GPS was really flowing and flowing strong, I used to have a map book and try to find these places on the map book. And I remember I used to ask the buyers that I was taking out to look at places to be my co-pilot. And that all worked well until some guy just blew up at me going, "You're supposed to know where all these places are." And from then on, I did my best to know where the places are and made sure I had a good working GPS. But the point is, finding your way with accuracy is absolutely crucial, vital, and life-determining. How many are glad that you've surrendered your life to Jesus and that the Holy Spirit speaks? This was a Holy Spirit-led meeting this morning. There are a lot of churches. I'm going to just talk to you as your pastor for a moment. There are a lot of churches that have put the moving of the Spirit off into some side room because this embarrasses them. And well, you know, the guest will never figure out what's going on. You know, I happen to love guests as much as you do, but I love Jesus most. And I believe as we make room for Him, He will help the guest be attracted to His presence. And we're here as loving people to explain to them, share with them what's happening. But I personally refuse to put the moving of the Spirit off into a back room. Now, if you don't like that, you might as well just get used to that if you're here, because I'm going to do everything I can to make sure we encourage the moving of the Holy Spirit and give Him freedom. After all, it's His church, we're His people, and His people have come to meet Him. Someone say amen or oh no.
Amen.
I'm not critical of others. I just know, as for me and my house, we want to give room for the Spirit of God. David paid attention to the prophets. We're going to talk this morning just for a few minutes about following the prompts. David paid attention to the prophets. You all know that. You remember when Saul, you've read your scriptures, were chasing David down. He wanted to kill him because Saul had become depraved. The Spirit of God had gone from Saul and had come on David. But in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would fall on people for certain tasks. But thank God we're on this side of the cross when the Holy Spirit comes on all believers. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad the Holy Spirit inhabits you and He's in your heart, He's gripping you, guides you, gives you impulses, gives you prompts to be able to follow Him? Aren't you glad you're redeemed in Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you have not received those experiences, if you're not sure you're saved, come this morning and give your life to Him. If you're not sure you've been water baptized in a meaningful way that has radically redeemed, saved, and strengthened your life, come find out more. There's more in water baptism for you. There's no reason to hold off and say, oh, I've got to retroactively apply my sprinkling when I was a baby. That's not what the Bible teaches. Thank God for parents who dedicated you. But there's more in the Lord. How many know that in Jesus? And if you haven't received the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the free release of speaking in tongues, there are people to pray for you. He's an available gift for you to be your strength and your encouragement. God is good. And all the time, God is good. So the Spirit of God was moving on David, and he was running. And you know, there's one kind of humorous section. I believe it's in 2 Samuel, maybe 21. I was reviewing it this morning when David was going around one side of the mountain and Saul was going around the other side of the mountain. And David kept evading him. And that was the goodness of God, if you recall. David so valued the Spirit of the Lord that among his lead counselors in his government, he had prophets standing right next to him and speaking to him and bringing the word of the Lord, whether good or bad. After he sinned with Bathsheba, you remember the prophet of the Lord came and told him a story about how this man had taken another man's only lamb and stolen it from him. And David's heart burned with fury. He said, the man should be disciplined and judged and blah, 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 blah. And the prophet looks at him and he goes, you're the man. You took another man's wife. And you committed murder with her husband. And what did David do? You see later in the scriptures where the kings who were hardened toward God refused the prophet's words and they would tell him to shut up or kill them or put them in jail. But when David received the word of the Lord, he said, I'm guilty. I received the word of the Lord. So when we receive the word of the Lord, both spoken, preached, taught in your word of study, the Holy Spirit can come and speak to you and to me, and He can prompt us, and He can convict us, and He can lead us, and He can guide us. How many know the sense of prompting in your spirit where Jesus convicts you or speaks something to you? You know, I mean, there's all sorts of things like turn left, turn right, and thank God you end up at the same time or at the same place where you should be. Or maybe it's a conviction of the Spirit where the Holy Spirit says to me, Kevin, I don't want you doing that. Or what you said was wrong. What you did was wrong. And I have a chance to harden against that voice, or I have a chance to follow the prompts and say, you're right. I'm wrong. Please forgive me, Lord. And keep my heart, what? Tender before the Lord. How many want to receive the prompts of the Lord? No, I'm really asking you. How many want to receive the prompts of the Lord? Because implied in your answer is, and Lord, I will listen to those prompts and I will obey your voice. Is that what's in your heart this morning? I think I'm speaking to the right group of people that want that kind of active hearing and walking with the Lord. David valued the word of the Lord. He would ask, he would get answers. As he sought God, he was protected. How many times was David protected? Michael, his wife, protected him against King David, or against King Saul, rather. He was protected by Samuel. He was protected by the priests. He was protected by Jonathan, Saul's own son. Over and over and over and over again, David was protected because he gave room to listen to God. David, the man after God's own heart, doesn't mean he was perfect, but he responded to the prompts. Paul paid attention. Paul paid attention to the Spirit. You remember the sections of Scripture? Want to read it? Turn with me, if you would, please. Turn in your Scriptures to Acts chapter 16. I'm not going to read it all. I just have a few phrases up here. But Acts chapter 16, I'm going to read it this morning from the Passion Translation. Acts chapter 16, Paul paid attention to the Spirit. David paid attention to the prophets. The word of the Lord would come. Paul paid attention to the Spirit. Acts 16, I'm reading from verses 6 through 10 of the Passion Version. The Holy Spirit had forbidden. You see, I wrote that up here. The Holy Spirit had forbidden Paul and his partners to preach the word in the southwestern provinces of Turkey. So they ministered throughout the region of central and west central Turkey. They kept going wherever they could go, you guys, to minister the word of the Lord. But the Lord, the Holy Spirit, would forbid him to go into other parts of Asia at this time. When they got as far west as the borders of Mysia, they repeatedly listened to their sincere attempt to follow God. They repeatedly attempted to go north into the province of Bithynia. But again, listen, the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to enter. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, who lives inside of you. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus. He was prompting them. He was speaking to them. So instead, they went right on through the province of Mysia. Now, by the way, do you see Paul sitting down saying, well, I can't do what I want to, so I'm going to go home and eat a sucker. He didn't do that. He said, okay, well, then we'll just keep going. You know how life is, don't you? Sometimes being guided in life, you know how it is? It's kind of like bumper cars. You ever play bumper cars at the carnival when you're a kid? You bump into one another and you keep going down the road. You're supposed to go around a certain circle, and there was always this little jerk that kept going the other way and trying to beat everybody off the road, right? That wasn't you. Anybody in this? No. But it's like bumper cars sometimes. But the Holy Spirit would lead, and they went right on through the province of Mysia to the seaport of Troas. While staying there, Paul, watch, experienced a supernatural ecstatic vision. So he was prompted of the Lord. He was led of the Lord. He wouldn't be allowed. He wasn't permitted. And now he has a vision. So how many think Paul is paying attention to the Holy Spirit? Amen. During the night, a man from Macedonia appears before him, pleading with him, you must come across the sea to Macedonia to help us. So God gives this man a vision. He's walking with him. He's listening to Jesus. He's loving the Lord. He's doing everything to keep his tender heart before the Lord. God won't let him in certain places. He's trying to find the will of God. And then God gives him the vision. And he doesn't wake up, shake himself off, go to the restroom and say, boy, I had a bad pizza last night. He goes, you know, I think that's God trying to talk to me. I said, I think that's God trying to talk to me. Now, if you have a bad vision or dream based on a bad TV show or movie you watched, don't trust that voice. Watch out for what you let in. Come on, I'm going to say it again. Watch out for what you let in. If you want the Spirit of God to speak, we need to shut the voice of the demonic in the world so we can have an ear tuned to Jesus. A man from Macedonia. After Paul had this vision, we came across the sea to Macedonia to help us. After Paul had this vision, we immediately prepared to cross over to Macedonia, convinced that God himself was calling us to go and preach the wonderful news of the gospel to them. I love that. He's walking with God, so he knows when he gets this vision, it's God. Now, some of us wonder sometimes if our leading is God. Did you ever do what I did? You're new, or maybe you're trying to learn how to hear, and so you're driving down the highway, and you get this prompt, take the next left. Take the next left. Drive down the road a quarter mile, you feel like the nudge goes, turn right. You turn right. Go down a little further, turn left. And left is straight into the water of the lake. And I go, I could either feel stupid, or I could say, well, Lord, you know I'm willing. Refine my hearing so that next time I hear it right. Because I've had times where I've done exactly that, and it was exactly the right thing to do. And I ended up at exactly the right place at the right time. Those who by reason of use, the Bible says, have their discernment exercised. Well, if you never work out your discernment, you never get it exercised, right? So we've got to pay some attention. And Paul paid attention. So there's a couple of maps here of his journey. You'll see that up above, you see he left from Antioch, went over to Lystra, Derbe, and then his trials over on that side, going into Greece. That's the Macedonia area he's called into. And he goes to Philippi and then Thessalonica. And down here, you see the rest. He goes to Thessalonica and down to Berea and Athens and Corinth. It's one of the most remarkable journeys that Paul took to preach the gospel into this area of the world. So he's listened. And because Paul listened, you and I are here today. Come on. You and I are here today in the freedom of the Spirit because Paul listened back then on where and when to preach the Word of God. Later, you remember, he's arrested and he appeals to Rome. And they say, to Rome you will go. And then they want to put him on board this ship at the wrong time of year. And Paul looks at the guys and says, don't go now. There's nothing but danger in this time of year. Wait a couple of months. And they don't pay any attention to Paul. How many know what happened? Remember? The storms come up. It's a terrific storm. They throw out all the food. They don't know what to do. They're terrified. Absolutely terrified. And then Paul steps up one morning after about 2 weeks of this. Acts 27, go ahead and turn in your Bibles. Acts 27, 22 to 26. Acts 27, 22 to 26. Paul steps up and says, now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. Now remember, these guys have been sweating out this storm for 10, 12, 14 days, however long, they're scared to death. And Paul says, you're not going to lose your lives. But the ship will be lost. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, of the Lord, of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men. How many think they might take heart? Take heart, men, for I believe God. Now, I want you to say this with me. I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. It's powerful. However, we must run aground on a certain island. It's not all fun and dreams, but I believe it'll be God. Paul knew the voice of God because he listened over and over and over again to the prompts of the Lord. Was it all easy? No. There were sufferings and there were persecutions. There was danger and turmoil, beatings, all of that. But he had the joy of watching the Holy Spirit lead, guide, confirm, heal, deliver, strengthen, and bring multitudes to Jesus. And he planted churches all around because he followed God. How many are following God? How many are listening for His prompts? Because church, He still speaks to us today. He still speaks to us today. I said, He still speaks to us today. Last week, I'm going to take a few minutes with you. Last week, I told you about the Indonesian earthquake. Remember, I told you about the man in the tower with his utter bravery who guided this airplane off the runway at the very last minute, and 140 souls were saved. People had tried to call to this man in the control tower and say, get out of there, there's a terrible earthquake, get out. The building's crumbling all around him, and this man's last words that they have recorded virtually are, I cannot go. The airplane has not yet taken off, and I must guide them on their journey. The airplane takes off, the walls and the ceiling begin to crumble. He jumps out of the tower, and the report is he broke both his legs, both his arms, an entire series of ribs, and they were transporting him to the hospital, and he died en route after saving these people. But how many have heard the rest of the story? The Holy Spirit prompted a Christian pilot to speed the departure of his air flight from Palu carrying 140 passengers, narrowly averting the potential disaster with the loss of lives. It was a 7.5 magnitude earthquake that struck Friday, September 28th in a mountainous area 48 miles from the provincial capital of Palu. Only minutes later, underwater landslides triggered a massive 10 to 20 foot tsunami swept through Palu and other coastal areas. At least 1,200 people so far are reported to have perished. Smaller villages are simply gone. All day Friday, the Christian pilot of this airplane says, I had been feeling unsettled and I didn't know why. And to displace these feelings of not being at ease in his spirit, this pilot of this airplane, a strong Christian, began to loudly sing worship songs on his flight from Ujang Padang to Palu. And he says this, usually I only hum, but that day I wanted to praise the Lord the best way I could. And his Muslim co-pilot says to him, I think you should make a CD of worship songs. When they were about to land, now listen, when they were about to land at the Palu airport, the wind was really strong. And the pilot heard this voice in his heart, he said, directing him to circle again before landing. Now, this airport, I know we don't know it too well, but it's between two mountain ranges. Some pilots refer to airports situated in this way as valleys of death. So again, he felt prompted to be extra careful in landing, and he recites Psalm 23. As he landed, or after he landed, one more time, he felt prompted that he needed to be quick, and he urged his crew to do what they were doing very quickly, take a short break, no more than 20 minutes, get back on this plane, because we are supposed to take off. He said, I didn't even leave the cockpit and requested permission from the air controller to leave early, expedited leaving. He received permission and he felt such an urgency, he broke standard protocol for flight procedures and he took over some of the co-pilot duties in order to speed up their exit. The moment arrived for takeoff and his airplane barreled down the runway, he said, I don't know why, but my hand just kept pushing the lever, causing the plane to speed up and speed up as it took off. As they barreled down the airstrip, all of a sudden both the co-pilot and him felt a noticeable shift of the plane over to the side, left, and then right. He said, if we had taken off 3 minutes later, I would not have been able to save 140 passengers. The asphalt on the landing strip was moving up and down like a curtain blowing in the wind. Several minutes after takeoff, He tried to communicate with the man in the control tower. Only silence. He looked down and he saw the area of the sea where the tsunami had started. It just created a hole so you could see right through to the sea floor before that tsunami started. He said, in this difficult time, during the split seconds of decisions, that tower control person waited for me till I was safe before he jumped. I call him my guardian hero. And his final words in this story, as he related all this at a Jakarta church, was, "It is vital, crucial, that we hear the voice of God." What are we going to do, church? How are we going to handle our walk with the Lord? How are we going to be what He wants us to be? I want you to look again at Pastor Sherry's favorite verse. Your opening this morning was fantastic, Pastor Sherry. We are in this kind of loving, non-shame relationship with God, where He wants to speak to His people. We're not ashamed. The past is gone. You could have gone all morning and I would have just amened you, honey. Fantastic. But that's the heart behind Pastor Sherry's favorite verse that I had felt prompted to bring back again from the original Living Bible. Psalm 73 verse 28 says this. Would you read it out loud with me, please? "But as for me, I get as close to Him as I can. I have chosen Him, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful ways He rescues me." And that's what we just heard in that story, didn't we? So what do we do? What do we do? You'll see a series of points there. We get as close to Jesus as we can. You come to church, worship, hear the Word of God, taught, preached, and stay close. Number two, you read the Word, you devour the Word, you love the Word of God. How many in this room love the Bible, love the Word of God, and stay in the Word? Person after person after person throughout the years who have fallen into sin and their lives are destroyed or shipwrecked and other people shipwrecked will come back to a testimony of telling you, "I stopped reading the Word of God. I stopped studying the Word of God. I stopped being in the Word of God." Listen, stay in the Word of God. Come on, preach it with me. Stay in the Word of God. So the Holy Spirit can keep prompting and keep speaking. He's your teacher. Be filled with the Spirit. Ask Him to be your teacher. Quiet the world, and that's first. Quiet the world. Stop. Turn off the television. What are you letting into your heart and home? If you watch the news channel, no matter what side it's on all day long, all you're going to be is angry at somebody. Turn it off. After all, I believe the report of the Lord. I need to know what's going on. But as for me and my house, we're going to believe the report of the Lord. God is in charge. And then begin to follow His prompt. Step by step by step. What's He saying? And really, church, remember, He begins with a still, small voice. That's sometimes why we need to shut off that television and that news channel or whatever else it might be. Again, they serve their purpose. But we need to make sure we're listening to God because He wants to speak to us. What do? Take time with Jesus. Pray. Pray. We've talked a lot about that in the years. We've talked a lot about it. It doesn't have to be complex. Talk to Jesus about what's on your heart. Talk to Him about your burden. Talk to Him about your frustrations. Talk to Him about Him, but go to Him in prayer. Love Him. Thank Him. Praise Him. Talk. Pray. Read His Word. Read His Word. The Word of God is living and alive and powerful. We've got, I love you all. And I have people giving me books all the time. And I look at you and I go, because people will follow up with me in 2 weeks. Did you read it? And I go, I'm so sorry. You're going to have to give me, maybe just a year or two. I love you, and I want what's important to you, but please understand, I don't hardly have enough time to stay in the Word as I want to stay in the Word. So I will get to it, I promise, as best as I can, but the Word of God is first and foremost. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Third, obey Him. Obey Him quickly. Get used to obeying Him quickly, immediately. And step out in faith and follow those prompts. Next, meditate. Meditate on what He says. What He's spoken to your heart, and rehearse. What does that mean? It means like the cows chew the cud. That's what it means. You meditate. You keep mulling it over. What did God speak to my heart today? What's He saying? What's He doing? I just want to think on these things and then thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him for being so good, for speaking to you and me. And then sing His praises. Sing His praises. And what's that spell? What's it spell?
Prompts.
Four of you are awake. What's that spell?
Prompts.
Thank you. Follow His prompts. That's how we begin. And that's how we continue. To listen to the Lord. Listen for His voice. Jesus has given us a face-to-face, intimate, personal relationship with Him. That's the privilege of being His. That's the privilege, Arliss, of having another year. And, you know, your daughter is singing her praises to Jesus right now. We miss her. We love her. And we'll see her again someday. But while we are here, we get to encourage each other. Praise the Lord. Thank Him. Worship Him. Sing His praises. And follow His prompts. And follow His voice. You know what? The more you do, the more you hear. And the more you hear, the more you learn His voice. It's just like dealing with counterfeit money. They don't teach the bankers to work with counterfeit money and how to figure out counterfeit money by giving them 50 different kinds of counterfeit money. What do? They just give them real money. So if you deal with the real thing, with the Word of God, and follow His leading, you're going to learn just what His voice sounds like. How many have heard the voice of God? How many want to hear it more? Father, I pray for Your people right now, Lord. I pray for all of us. Dig out our ears to hear Your voice. Come on, will you stand with me, please? Dig out our ears, oh God, to hear Your voice. And we want to know that You are speaking to us. You're in charge of our lives. And Jesus, we thank You for being so good. Thank You that You're the God who does all things well. And we know You've got great things involved and in mind for each of us. You've got people You want for each of us to reach and people You want for each of us to help. Lord, even today as we go from this place, we go without shame, just like Pastor Sherry shared, just like Psalm 84 declared. We go without shame and we go in the joy of the Lord. But Lord, we go as Your people, committed to hearing Your voice. To respond to You and love You and to magnify Your name. Lord, we want to hear You more. So we commit ourselves more to responding to You and following Your prompts. What are the riches of Jesus' glory? What are they? Knowing Him. Who else? Peace.
Grace.
Grace. Who else?
Justification.
Justification. Sanctification. Possessing His righteousness. Amen. Who else? His presence. How many know Jesus is all the riches we need? So we come to Him and we say, okay, Lord, I'm Your own. So hearing Your voice, being in Your presence, those are all the riches we need. Someone say amen.
Amen.
The Lord has spoken to you this morning and you need time to take time to be with Him, to pray for someone. Make yourself known to some of the folks around here. We'd be honored to pray with you. If you need healing in your body, there'll be people who are here to pray for you. Don't go without being prayed for if you have needs. But above all, know that the Lord loves you and we love you. And we're going to send you out with the joy of the Lord as your strength. He is the God who heals you, who cares for you. Raise your hands for the blessing, will you? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future. and a hope. And they all said, in Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. Be released in the presence of God.